Welcome to part two of our interview with Mark Ortiz about the haunted Whitney restaurant in Detroit.
People that want to hang out, they want to be part of what's going on there with people with eating and dining, and I think they want to be there. But no, nothing negative. And even the staff that we've talked to, they've never said, you know, it's been mean. It's almost like they're playful. Mm-hmm. If they want to, hey, I'm here, guys. But nothing negative in the mansion. Carriage House, it could be a different story.
Why do you say that?
Well, while we were doing our paranormal dinner, we do two twice a month. I was leading the group up to the second floor of the Carriage House. I had one woman with me next to me. As I walked up to the main room of the second floor, the room leading into Grace's table, I looked over to my left, and standing in the doorway into Grace's area, I saw a black mass covering the whole door. The door was already open. There's a window that actually had reflects light in from the light bulb out there, so you could actually see into that next room, even though it's dark. I saw a black mass at that door covering the whole entire window. So I couldn't even see in there. And I felt this negative energy as I did when I was a child living in the house that was haunted. And I didn't want to go in there. I looked over and I said to her, the woman I was with, I said, do you feel that energy? I looked over, saw the darkened room, saw the darkened mass, and she didn't say nothing. But I knew I had to lead this group of 20 people into that room. So I'm going, well, here I go. I'm going to go into that room. And I didn't want to, but I did. And during our filming on the Travel Channel, we recreate that moment that happened. And you might have to look on, well, actually, our Facebook page actually has that episode. So people that want to see that can go to our Facebook page. But went into that room, we stood around Grace's table, and I out loud I said, is there anybody here with us at this moment? And what we heard out loud was an audible EVP. We heard the word yes, clear as day. People were freaking out, like, oh my gosh, did you just hear that? I said yes. I was actually shocked because I did not expect that.
Sure.
But it was I felt a darkened energy. And some of the guests we'll have with us, some of them claim to be sensitives or psychics and mediums. On two or three different occasions, these people don't even know each other, but they've actually said there was a man that was hung here up in the rafters. And we heard it twice from two different people at two different times. So I approached this person. I said, you know, you're the second person that said that. I said, how do you know that? Not that I know that was true, because we don't know if anybody had got hung there. But she says, they said it was a black gentleman, African-American, and that he got hung, but they were hiding his death. And we heard that from somebody else that felt that same presence inside the Whitney Mansion. And that was the first time I've ever heard about something negative inside the mansion, only in the Carriage House. So there could be a very, you could take angry for being evil or mean. It's possible, you know, somebody who's angry or mean is probably evil, not necessarily demonic, but to somebody who's very angry. So I would say that there's a negative feeling or a negative spirit up there. And is it the man that got hung? Maybe.
What I was wondering with that, when you have a situation like that where someone is murdered on a property, the assumption quite often is, well, the ghost is the individual who died. Could it possibly be the individual who perpetrated the crime, who doesn't want that secret to get out, who is still sitting there with its negative energy, with its sadness, with everything that it held in life that allowed it to do such a horrible act to another human being? Could that spirit of that person be the one that is still lurking around, not wanting the secret to be out and willing to do whatever it takes on its side to protect it?
Absolutely. I guess we'll never know that answer, but yes, it could be the person that actually murdered this other person in the carriage house. Is he looking to do the same thing again with somebody else? Is he projecting this negative energy mm-hmm. towards me while I was there because he wants to do harm to me?
Yeah.
There has not been any like there's nobody's been ever scratched or well, I don't want to say pushed or pulled on because yes, we get that a lot up there, and it seems like the person, the male, or I'm just saying male, I don't know, it could be the female, that they actually like to pull on the women's skirts,
mm-hmm.
pinch their rear ends, pull their hair, tap on their shoulders, whisper in their ear. It seems like the ladies, they're more affected by that than the men, but even though I've actually had my name whispered into my ear when there was nobody standing there. So my other member, team member Mark, he actually, in his ear, they told him to get out. And he after everybody left, he said, "Mark, somebody whispered in my ear, told me to get out."
Mm-hmm.
And it could be this angry man that's up there.
When you feel that, when you have something whispering, get out, or as in your case, you saw this entity, this figure in this room, and then you had to lead a tour group towards it. Have you ever had the moment of pause to think, maybe I should heed this feeling I'm getting, or the verbal warning, as in the case of your colleague, to get out?
You know, good question. I mean, should we have gotten out? Maybe, because we've never had anything mean happen to anybody. And you know, these people here that come to these paranormal dinners, you know, they're paying a lot of money for a paranormal experience, and we're trying to give them that. And so in that case, no, I was not even thinking, you know, let's get out for their safety.
Sure.
Because we've never had anything bad happen to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So, and these people, they want an experience. And they're crazy about it. You know, we've had people say, you know, I want something to happen right now. I'm like, well, I wish I could make something happen for you at this moment, but it doesn't work that way. So I think at that point, at that moment, no, we just went ahead and went on with with what we do to try to get a response so these people can actually say, I witnessed paranormal activity at the Whitney Mansion. You know, they want that. They actually pay for that.
Sure.
And so we try to give them that too. So
do you feel like there's anyone there that is trying to convey a message, that's trying to say something on the other side, or are they just kind of there and you happen to be catching them?
You know, I would think that, yeah, they're trying to get a message to us. But, you know, we never get, it's very rare to actually get them to keep talking longer than, you know, 2 seconds or 3 seconds. They may say a quick, you know, thank you for coming. But, you know, we're trying different techniques to get them to say more. You know, why can't they just carry on a whole conversation back and forth? You know, we don't know. It's just something that I don't think anybody has captured as far as full conversation. So, yeah, we would like to get them to talk to us more, give us some kind of hint of who's there and why they're there. So it's real hard. We've been trying for a long time.
When you were getting involved with this, with the Whitney, and the topic of ghosts started coming out into the open, how did that evolution happen? Because obviously for a good period of time, most businesses, restaurants, stores, whatever, location that is haunted, something they didn't want to talk about for a long period of time. It seems like only in the last 10 years or so that it's been an open for conversation topic, or something that a business actually wants to be known for. How did that transition go? What was it like when it was finally kind of out in the open that, yeah, we accept this place is haunted? Were stories starting to come out of the woodwork then from other people who've had experiences? Tell me about that point in time.
Yeah, I think so. I think it was the staff at the Whitney. There was a lot of stories going on. And, you know, whether they wanted to bring it out to the open or they just wanted to sweep it under the carpet, I think at that point when they were getting so many, so much interest in the building, and people wanted to come, and the first thing they would say is, you know, is this place really haunted? And they would say, oh, you know, there's a lot of talk about it. And then when the Sci-Fi Channel Ghost Hunters, the producers called and they said, hey, we want to come out to the Whitney. We want to do a story. And a light bulb went on in their head, like, you know, this, we can run with this. We can make something really happen with the Whitney. And then you got the Travel Channel coming in and they want to do an episode or two. And that's when the general manager, the director, and even Bud Liebler himself, the owner, actually said, hey, we want these guys, us, referring to the haunt investigators, let's see if we can get, let's do a little paranormal dinner. Let's see if we get them to spend some money and give them some type of, give them something as far as paranormal. So, you know, the light bulb went off their head. They said, you know what, let's try and do this. So we've gotten lucky so far and actually produced some pretty interesting material for the guests. So they wanted this to happen. It wasn't that they were trying to hide that was, you know, haunted. And you know, nowadays, you know, a lot of businesses, you know, they make a lot of money off this. And, you know, yeah, it's, people are going to say, well, it's all about money and money. Well, yeah, businesses have to survive. But not only we're doing this, but we're actually helped to keep the Whitney restored, because they're always restoring this or restoring that.
Sure.
And the place is haunted. Out of the many places that we've investigated in the U.S., it's up there, top two places of activity, and the place is indeed haunted. It's not that, you know, they're bringing people in this, you know, to spend money. No, there's activity going on in this place. It's definitely haunted for sure.
When you have a location that gets focused on, where a lot of people are interested in it for its characteristic of being haunted, do you feel like that increases the amount of activity that ends up happening there, because there's so much interest, there's so much more energy that is surrounding the building to bring out more? Or does it stay like how it was, on the same level prior to the level of interest? And this could be at the Whitney or really anything. It's more of a question of your experience when a building suddenly gets that attention. Does it cause a spike in the activity?
You know, I'm going to say yes, as far as the Whitney is concerned, because you've got the people in there that are creating energy. You know, everybody, I think everybody gives off some type of energy. You know, I felt a presence. You know, you can feel the presence of somebody standing next to you, and, you know, whether it's a buddy or somebody looking, staring at the back of your head, and you look back and it's like, oh, I thought you were staring at me. So I think the presence of people in and out have that energy that the spirits can feed off of. And in the carriage house, you know, you've got people that are scared to go up there, but they still want to go. It's like the most amazing ride you've ever been on. They go up there, but they're scared. I think that the spirits up in the carriage house, they love to feed off that energy, off the person who's scared. I think they love that, and it makes we're hoping that it could actually bring the spirit out even more. So all that energy from people that are there, yeah, I honestly believe that it can manifest something, you know. So I mean, you've heard about people actually creating or manifesting a spirit because of the energy that they have. You know, are we actually creating EVP from our thoughts, or that's just something that we're kind of experimenting with, as far as you get a group of a bunch of people into a room, and if everybody can think of the same word without saying it in their brain, can we manifest that word that everybody has their thought? Is that the spirit or the EVPs that we're capturing that's coming from people? So I think people give off an energy that the spirits love to use. So
What for you has been one of the most compelling, whether it doesn't have to be scary, but I guess most evident moments for you in the home or in the carriage house, for that matter, on the property, I should say, that just stands out to you as, wow, that was a moment I will never forget? What's one of your biggest ones there at the Whitney?
Well, there's a couple. Obviously, the shadow, the darkened mass at the door, which led us to getting the audible, the disembodied voice. Right after that, that was incredible. The other one is we had this equipment that we use. It's called the X-Chem. It uses infrared light sensing and distance detection. We were actually using this at the table, at Grace's table. One of our team members was sitting at the table when we captured an image on this, on our device, of a small childlike figure. And the investigator says, "Would you like me to bring a book next time and read you a story?" And we caught the voice of a child responding back with yes or yeah. I can't remember what it is, but we actually got a response back. That was amazing. That was truly, truly amazing, because the X-Cam, for us to capture something on the X-Cam and have it backed up with an audible EVP, it just doesn't happen. It's like we hit a home run twice. So it's verifying what the X-Cam is doing. So that was pretty incredible as far as that EVP. But to actually hear the EVP audibly and being witnessed by many people, that was incredible, because it doesn't happen. It's very, very rare. And I've seen the black mass was, even though I saw it, I was used to that growing up in a house that I grew up in. I would see shadow people. I actually would see a walk from one room to the next. So that to me didn't scare me, because I was used to that. But to see the black mass and get the audible EVP, that was incredible.
With that X-Cam, and obviously what we're talking about here is a modified Xbox 360 Eye that is originally created for video games, correct?
Correct.
Yeah,
correct.
I play bowling with it with my children all the time. But yeah. The fact that that can be used in this field, and I totally understand what you're talking about, where it recognizes essentially a body figure, and it creates a stick figure on the screen, and it shows you that there's something over there. And it's designed to detect people when they're playing the video game. But now people have found that this is a great ghost hunting piece of equipment, because it's detecting figures that are out there. When you're using that piece of equipment, and this is a question that goes beyond the Whitney, it's more so a question about just using that equipment anywhere. When you're seeing that stick figure come up on the screen, and you're using that cam, and you're looking from the screen, and then you're shifting your sight to what it's capturing out there in the ether, in reality, are you seeing anything in your atmosphere, or is it all just somehow coming up on the cam? Is there anything out there that would be giving you evidence that there's something that this thing's going to pick up out there?
No, so far it's just what we're capturing on the tablet itself. Mm-hmm. There's two versions of this X-Cam. One of them is, like you said, is used for games, and people have used those and modified those to use exactly what we're using it for. The other version is an X-Cam that's been built differently by Bill Chappell. Mm-hmm. He actually is the one that actually made the one for the Ghost Adventures team. Mm-hmm. That's the one we use,
okay.
which is a tablet you can see right then and there. So when we capture these figures, we do not see, we don't see anything in front of us. We don't see a shadow. We don't see a mist, but we're waiting for that to happen. But no, there's nothing in front of us that we can see that the X-Cam is catching. Although we've had our REM pod or our K2 devices actually go off as we're using this and as we're catching these figures. So our devices are actually picking something up, but we have not seen anything visually yet, and we're still hoping to witness something like that.
Let's go back to the child that you had that brief EVP from that was captured. Is there any story, any evidence to point to who this child may be or why they're there?
No, there really nothing that we have found yet. It was kind of incredible, because before we actually caught this voice of this child, we had a very, very well respected sensitive medium. I don't know. I mean, because there's so many different titles to all these senses out there, and I couldn't tell you one from the other. But this gal, she was pretty impressive. First time ever, the carriage house, we brought her up there, and she said, there's a child, there's a little girl. She likes to run from this room into that room, leading into Grace's table. We did not even know that. She says, yeah, it's a little girl. She's wearing a dress. She looks like this, blah, blah, blah. And she's running back and forth. And that was the first time we actually ever even heard about a child being inside the carriage house. Where this child spirit is coming from, we don't know. Yeah. We don't have a clue. Were there children that passed away in the home, as far as when it was a hospice? Yeah, there might have been. But she actually says there's a child. And then it wasn't until probably months later is when we caught the audio of a child, after we had asked if we wanted to read a book to the child. So it was like, wow, that's actually kind of interesting. So that's where that's at.
What are you hoping to find as you continue your investigations of the Whitney in the years to come? Where do you foresee this going?
Will we ever get an answer as far as what's happening on the other side? Probably not in my lifetime. I think we're still trying to, hopefully we can get a name. We've actually asked for a name once and we got a response back of a Jason or a James. We're hoping to see if we can get other names and do more research to find out if any of the Whitney children or the family is there in the carriage house or who's up there. Mm-hmm. It just gives us something to let everybody else know, the public say, well, this is what we've got. But, even if the spirit tells us that, James is up there, is it just the spirit actually lying to us and giving us a name because we're asking for a name? Is he not giving us his real name? We'll never know that, but you're hoping to even get a last name. So we're always asking, what is your first name? Give us a last name. It's hit or miss when you're trying to get answers like that. And it's a lot of times you go on these, you're in that place investigating for 6-7 hours and you walk out with nothing. So it's kind of hard.
That wraps up part two of our interview with Mark Ortiz about the haunted Whitney restaurant. Thank you so much, Mark, for being on the program today and sharing your experiences with us. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.